Good morning. My name is Carrie Brigiotti. I am the Public Health Administrator at the Center for Human Development in Union County, Oregon. And I'm going to let Charlie introduce himself. So I work at a very rural health department in Oregon, so in the northeastern corner of the state, kind of by Washington and Idaho. I'm going to put the timer on just to keep myself on track here. And then Charlie can tell you who he is in a little bit. But first off, I know that both of us do not have anything to disclose. So today we are talking about the Task Force on the Future of Public Health Services. So how this got started in Oregon is that in 2013, the legislature mandated through a House bill a 15-person task force to study and develop recommendations for improving public health in Oregon. The task force was comprised of a variety of members, including state legislators, nonprofit leaders, local public health administrators, and that was Charlie and I were both the local public health administrators on the task force, and a county commissioner. So there was broad representation. We met from January through September of 2014, so a very quick timeline to move through the process of modernizing Oregon's public health system. And in September of 2014, we submitted a report to the legislature that had recommendations about how Oregon could move through the process of creating a modern public health system. So, let me see. This is a copy, a beautiful picture of the report that we submitted to the legislature. Just to give a really brief overview of the process that we went through in developing the report, we spent quite a bit of time developing a shared understanding of public health in Oregon. There were a lot of, as I mentioned before, there were a lot of diverse representatives on the task force, so we wanted to make sure that we all understood the current status of Oregon's public health system. We spent quite a bit of time identifying exactly what a modern public health system in Oregon would look like and what services and programs and foundational capabilities programs that Oregonians needed to assure that we had a healthy state. We adopted national recommendations for the foundational capabilities and programs, and we also identified, so actually I'm going to move on to the next slide where we talk about some of this. So this is what the report included. The task force recommended a set of foundational capabilities and programs. The foundational capabilities and programs were based on national models and work that is being done in other states, including Washington and Ohio and other places. We recommended that there was significant and sustained state funding. So obviously, if we want a modern public health system in Oregon, we need to have additional investments and also sustained investments. We decided that the implementation should occur in waves. We didn't have an expectation that, you know, on one date, every single local public health department and the state public health department would be implementing these foundational capabilities and programs. We wanted to give people time. We stressed flexibility to operationalize the model. So I guess the one thing that I didn't talk about when I started my presentation is that the initial bill that started this process actually said that we were just going to regionalize public health in Oregon. That was the starting point. Like, let's just regionalize public health. We'll have 9 regional health departments. I think that was the number. And so obviously you can imagine that some local public health departments and state were kind of maybe not exactly excited about having mandated regionalization. So this process allowed us to step back and look at what the most effective mechanism would be to assure public health in Oregon. And we landed on providing flexibility through, and the options would be a single county structure. So if one health department could implement these, the foundational capabilities and programs on their own, they could do that. There might be a single county that had shared services, and we might also have multi-county jurisdictions or health districts. And then finally, we really recognize how important metrics are when we're looking at system changes and improvements. And so we recommended changing the kind of charge of the Public Health Advisory Board, and they report to the Oregon Health Policy Board. And so there'll be a group that has a charge of developing and monitoring metrics that are specific to the work that we're doing in Oregon. And so this is the conceptual framework for governmental public health services that is contained in the task force's report. You can see that in the red box we have a set of foundational capabilities that go across all of the programs. So, you know, basically, like, these are the things that we feel like need to be present in every health department in every part of Oregon across all of the programs that we would be providing in the governmental public health system. And then on top of those are the foundational programs, and we identified four in Oregon: communicable disease control, environmental health, prevention and health promotion, access to clinical and preventive services. And then we also recognize that communities will have their own needs, and so the things that are outside of the red box, the above the line item, so to speak, acknowledges that there might be some things that we don't that aren't part of this framework, but that counties will want to implement and do because of the needs of their own communities. I wanted to note that this the model that was developed on the by the task force builds on recommendations that were put out in the Institute of Medicine's 2012 report for the public's health, investing in a healthier future. And as I said earlier, work that's being done in Washington and Ohio and other states to develop foundational capabilities and programs. So I think with that, I'll let Charlie take over.
Thanks, Carrie. Quick handoff. I'm Charlie Fountain. I'm public health administrator for Benton County, Oregon, which is on the other side of the state. It's western Oregon in the Mid-Willamette Valley. And Carrie and I were both local public health representatives on the task force. The outcome of the report was submitted to the Oregon legislature and resulted in a fairly massive rewrite of public health statute. And House Bill 3100, 2015 was the outcome of that. It was about a 110-page bill that rewrote and overrode about 70 other statutes, replaced them in Oregon law with the idea of helping to bring Oregon from the level that most states are at, which where laws are written primarily around hygiene, all the way back to the 18th century, and just updated on an as-need basis, incrementally and in isolation, and doing a more comprehensive rewrite. The bill requires a report back from the state and locals, coming right up in February 2016 with an implementation plan for moving towards those foundational capabilities and programs. And then, maybe most significantly, in June of 2016, a plan for what it would cost to bring Oregon into that into this model. And so this is our timeline, and I'm not going to walk through that, but just to say, Oregon at this point is 39th in the country for per capita state general fund investment in public health. We were 47th in the Trust for America's Health report prior to that. We didn't increase that much. Several other states severely reduced their per capita funding, which brought Oregon up. But that was I bring that up because it was a significant lever in working on House Bill 3100 with legislators. They were totally unaware of public health situation and the financial situation. Oregon is not in great financial states, but we had legislators who never paid attention to public health at all, wasn't even on their radar, And they were coming up to some of us in the hall and saying, geez, did you know Oregon's 47th in the country? It's scandalous. Something's got to be done. And so just getting people's attention, that was really a significant tool to use. So kudos to Trust for America's Health for compiling that kind of information and putting it out for our use. But the most significant thing about funding for public health in Oregon and reason why we're moving ahead with this so aggressively is there's a huge disparity in public health services in Oregon because of the lack of state funding. We really have a two-legged stool. We get federal categorical funding for programmatic funding that everyone in local and state public health is familiar with, yet almost nothing from the state, and so the balance and the backfill and the support for those foundational capabilities comes from local general fund tax funding at the local level. And of course there's huge differences in that. We both come from counties that support local public health very well. We have counties in Oregon that have no local public health. So we have our own social determinants inside our public health system. And we know from public health science that the greater the disparity in a population, the worse everyone's health status is. So even though I have a county that supports my department very well, I can't achieve at the level my folks can't be as healthy as possible when my neighbors are not being supported. So really the upshot of this and the intention is to reduce those local disparities. And as Carrie pointed out, that can be on a single jurisdiction basis. We do a tremendous amount of cross-jurisdictional sharing, which is a term that we prefer over regionalization, because regionalization, that term is very electric and anathema to local elected officials and county commissioners. They feel that implies a loss of local control. And so a lot of this is going to be based on that multi-county sharing model, although there will be a few that will go it alone and put in their plans alone. And we already have one three-county health district. There may be some others that ultimately come out of this. There's some follow-up information. There is a website for modernization in public health. And Carrie and I represent the Coalition of Local Public Health Officials, which is our coalition of our 34. There's 36 counties in Oregon, but because of the district, there's 34 members of our coalition. So happy to answer any questions that folks might have. Yes?
Hi, my name is Sarah Wiley, and I actually just moved to Oregon from Vermont.
Welcome. So I'll start. Carrie, feel free to join in. It really varies. So in a lot of our frontier rural, the health departments really were the medical safety net. But Oregon is very, very aggressive about the Affordable Care Act. And so we formed what we call coordinated care organizations. And in some places, those really are picking up a lot of those safety net functions. In other places, because of distance, because of low population, primarily in Western Oregon or Eastern Oregon, where Carrie is from, it's not possible. And public health will retain that, and that's why it still remains in this model.
Yeah, I would just say quickly, I think, you know, ideally we want to be partnering with our health systems to make sure that they're providing all the, you know, direct clinical services that they can. But I think, you know, in my community, for example, there's only one choice besides the health department. And when we're dealing with some of our confidential and sensitive services and working with youth, we need to be there to provide some basic services just to make sure that people don't go without But I think it'll be, again, that's the value of having this local control piece in here and the flexibility for local communities to identify their needs and structure around those local needs.
We actually, in the task force, we used a study from Massachusetts that when they went to affordable care, Romney care, a tremendous amount of the reproductive health and family planning rolled into that. And in just a very few years, they found that public health had to pick that back up for exactly the confidentiality and sector-specific focused reproductive health services that the medical system just wasn't prepared in a 15-minute general appointment to meet those needs.
My question is, just like you, we have a state legislature that is totally unaware and interested in public health. And I was wondering how you managed to sell your ideas and turn them into a bill that actually was approved. You find some of our champions. Can you say a little more about how that involvement engagement worked?
Well, we had a few champions in the legislature, and one in particular, a representative from the Portland area, Representative Mitch Greenlick, who is a provocative sort of legislator, and entered this bill for 8 or 9 regional health departments really to shock people, to start a conversation, and it did, and it morphed into this. But he has a propensity for entering bills like that that are not quite realistic, but start conversations. And that was his whole intent. And we were fortunate to have also a state senator on the task force who is a former public health nurse, or is a public health nurse. I guess we're public health nurses. I'm one of those. We're like Marines, you know. You're never not a public health nurse. So Lori still is. So we had a few friends inside who are willing to work the system and kickstart the process. So there was some contention of that in the task force, and still is. The legislators are insisted that the task force report, as Carrie mentioned, be a 10-year time frame for the transition, 5 biennia, and that was in their minds primarily based on fiscal realities, that it just was unrealistic to expect the legislature to come in with essentially tripling the amount tripling the amount of state general fund would about just barely bring Oregon above the national mean, which then of course the mean would rise. But those of us in practice really lobbied hard for a 4-year transition because we feel there is this bifurcated system now. And the longer we wait to implement these changes, the greater those social disparities, those service disparities will become in the state, and the more difficult it will be to close those. So that is a conversation that will continue in the 2016 and 2017 legislatures as the implementation plan comes forward. But in House Bill 3100 and in the task force report, it's listed as a 10-year time frame.
Thank you, Charlie and Carrie.